Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Frisco returns to GH, Taylor and Eric kiss on B&B, E-Jammy has sex on Days, Dylan pets a rock on Y&R, and the latest Prospect Park developments for All My Children and One Life to Live. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Howdy, Luke Kerr.
Reagan Salura, welcome.
So formal with the full
name.
Why
we use it? Look, if you what you're gonna do next? Our birth certificate,
social security number, tax ID.
It is tax season. I mean, hell.
Well, there you go. Well, sometimes I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to transition off.
Well,
of taxing.
I will. The Bold and the Beautiful is taxing to watch.
There you go. Fantastic. What did you guys think this last week of Taylor kissing Eric? And
look, that noise you made summed it up. Uh-huh. And it's just certain people that shouldn't go there. When Brooke goes through a family, I dance with glee because that's who Brooke is. She's Brooke Logan. She's the personification of sex. She's daytime's Aphrodite. It is what it is. But when Taylor, sainted, mealy-mouthed little Taylor does it, it's just gross. And it's just Brad Bell looking at his canvas and saying, you know, I've pretty much cast every good-looking guy, you know, over the age of 40 in daytime, from Antonio Sabato Jr. to Jack Wagner. I don't have anyone else to cast, so, Susan Flannery's gone, Ron Moss is gone, let's just put Taylor with Eric. You know, it's just, every time a soap goes there, they get canceled. I'm not saying, you know, B&B just got renewed, so it's not getting canceled. But think about it. When the soaps start just losing their way to where no familiar relationships matter anymore, Alan Spaulding marrying freaking Beth after her being, you know, first spending years trying to keep her and Philip apart, and then, you know, treating her like a daughter, then he decides to screw her, you know. And it's different with characters like Reva and Blake and Brooke Logan on this show, the sex kitten, the vamp. We expect that. But when the one who they're pinning all these virtues on is tonguing down her children's pawpaw, it's just mightily gross.
You mention Brooke being the seductress, and this last week when Lawrence St. Victor debuted and we had Marcus in his aw shucks way introduce his brother to his aunt, for a moment I was thinking, well, maybe Brooke will get some chocolate.
I wish Brooke would get something to do besides run around talking about hope.
Oh yes.
But the thing is it's not just Brooke. It's everybody. Yeah. It's Brooke. It's Eric. It's Taylor. It's Bill after having had sex with Katie.
I mean, Katie must have some lame goo-goo. You know, instead of being all, you know, he all, okay, I'm done. Let's start talking about Liam and Hope and Steffi again. I'm like, dang. But, well, I do have to say this, though, because even in the midst of all this, Hunter Tylow is at the party. I have to give credit where credit's due. Hunter Tylow is like, I am here. I am Taylor. And even though I disagree with everything the character is spouting, because I'm like, the Logans have made way more contributions to that company than Taylor's brats. All her kids have done is get blow up cars and cause problems. I'm like, Brooke made the Foresters millions, but Hunter believes what she's saying and she is selling it, you know, 1,000%. I do wish that they would give her a more viable love interest. I mean, they just, it seems like they don't know what they're doing with Susan Flannery gone. First they had Donna and Pam sillying around Eric. I would have thought a more natural pairing would have been, and especially since Brooke is trying her best to fight her feelings for Dollar Bill, Brooke should be the one cozying up to Eric, if for no other reason at first, to try to put some distance between herself and Bill And you know, and Eric always adored Brooke, and that makes sense because I mean she was his original trophy wife, you know, before she married Ridge. Even though she loved Ridge, she married Eric. So you know, you can go back and be nasty, and there's no that's just a do-over. But Taylor, that just starts a whole nother. It's like everything that they've all of Taylor's arguments are moot. If she screws Eric, then she will have screwed Thorne. I don't know. Well, I don't even know if they have they ever had sex. Have we ever seen Thorne and her have sex? They've dated twice now. You know, it's like she's neck and neck with Brooke. It's like, why does she still get to be Righteous Taylor? I mean, she's done everything Brooke does, except Brooke just enjoys it.
Well, and what were your thoughts on Lawrence St. Victor's debut? Because, I mean, we had Mosley premiere the week prior to him. What did you think of his
I
debut, both
like
of them being
Lawrence. I
gotten?
always liked Lawrence on God and Light. I haven't seen much to see if I'm going to like. You know, I have to wait and see because they just need to recast Marcus. They really, if they're going to
Yes, they
try to
do.
do a strong storyline, he can't deliver his lines. It's not even funny anymore. And they let him, you know, they let him do what I call the Victoria Rowell slash Shamar Moore thing, where they let them pepper their lines and make it a little more ethnic and fun because they know the black community and how black slang can be. But whereas Victoria
What,
Rowell,
you mean to tell me Brad Bell doesn't know ethnic slang?
I'm sure Brad Bell is not pinning kissing noises. No, I just don't believe that. I believe he's adding that, you know, which, you know, they always encourage Victoria Rowell and Shamar Moore to do that, and they did it well to where you did feel off. I mean, it was authentic when Drew would be like, "What is going on up there at the House of Newman?" You know, you felt it because it was like that's how a sister would talk. But he sets us back all the way to roots. I'm sorry, they need to do something with Texas Battle. They need to recast him. He's too bitty, out of work brothers. Look, cast the dude that played Frankie on All My Children before Prospect Park could get him. We have got to get a viable Marcus before we can progress with the story. Because I was
That wouldn't be bad. He wasn't a bad
No, I
actor.
liked him a lot.
Listen, I was tweeting, "Die, just die." And if anybody knows that reference, it's from A Different World when Whitley married Dwyane Wade and Diane Carroll said, "Die, just die." He
Oh, yes.
called
Yes.
Brooke Logan, "Auntie, Auntie, come here to me." And I was just like, I cannot deal with this.
I know,
No,
right?
we are in 2013. Barack Obama is in the motherfucking White House and Kerry Washington is on ABC primetime. I am not trying to have him doing that kind of stuff anymore. I can't take it.
That's sort of how I feel
Rosa
about
Parks did not. She did not get her black ass up on that bus. She did not tell them white people back in the 60s, "I'm not going to sit my black ass at the back of that bus no more so that we can have Texas Battle." Marcus and Malcolm, they tried to overcome for us. Now we're gonna have to meet them halfway. That's my Black History moment for y'all.
It's so awful.
This is Black History Month. Reagan, what did you think of Steffi's return to LA and the ad nauseum talk about her being pregnant and having to reunite with Liam and the fact that she wasn't going to be Taylor like Hope is?
You know, you know how I feel about this whole thing. The ad nauseum is, it makes me want to get nauseous. So that I could do without it. I've said this 1,000 times about B&B. I mean, sometimes I feel like I said 1,000 times here. I know I tweeted a lot. You only have like, what, 20 minutes when it's
17 or 18 minutes.
I mean, stop talking about shit over and over again, and definitely don't flash back to stuff that we just saw 2 days ago. Use your time.
It's so annoying! It's so annoying, Brad Bell! It's so annoying!
I mean, come on now. We are giving you vital moments of our day. Give us something back in return, please. I get what Steffi's saying. She does not want to repeat history. She lived through it as a child. She does not want to subject herself to it as an adult.
Steffi is the only one in this whole situation that I actually sort of understand.
Oh, if she didn't want to submit herself to her mother and her stepmother's drama, why, after she bumped her stupid head in that bathtub, did she set her sights on Hope's man? She did want to follow him.
But what I'm saying is that was back then, but now she has matured enough since that time to say, okay,
and connived and rigged those ski lifty things in overseas Aspen so that he couldn't get there, the girl couldn't stop the marriage. After she's done all her scheming, she's grown up. It's like, as much as Hope can annoy me, she is the wronged party here.
Okay, although, I'm coming at this from a person who didn't see all of that. So I'm kind of maybe...
Well, that little wench, let me just give you the cliff notes. That little Steffi, she was whoring around with Bill. And then when Bill didn't want
her... They technically never had sex,
Yeah, that was... They were always heavy petting, too. I don't know what's up. Brad Bell used to be the nastiest soap writer in daytime. Everybody was screwing all the time. Now they just... I don't know if a focus group told them this or what, but now everybody's just always heavy petting, except for Brooke and, Well, they aren't as high as they used to be when Brooke was actually screwing people instead of all this heavy petting. But obviously, Liam's done a little more than heavy petting because she's pregnant. But no, Steffi, basically, it was like psychologically, it was like Bill decided, well, I can't have her, so I'm going to push her off on my boy. And she bumps her head because wasn't she like drowning or sitting over there thinking about Bill and bumped her head in the tub or some mess? I'm like, they all schemed and connived to keep them apart. Now, for Hope's perspective, I'm like, you're 20. Shut up. Go get a new boyfriend. I mean, go see if Oliver's available. I mean, it's not that big of a... Unless Liam is like 12 inches rock hard and can go 3 hours, I don't understand. And how would they know with all that heavy petting that they...
My point is, I just think... when it comes to saying who has like had this clarity and maturity, I just feel that she's kind of the voice of reason in all of it. I get Hope thinks that she's been wronged and she lost out on something, but you know, sometimes things in life just don't work out the way they're supposed to. And
they're
just
both pathetic. Girls.
Yeah. You just accept it.
And Liam is equally pathetic.
Yeah. Liam is living every 25-year-old boy's dream. He is the, like I've joked and said, he is the personification, the living embodiment of Archie from the Archie comics. He gets to make out with Betty one comic strip, then he gets to make out with Veronica. And they still don't really get too mad at each other, so they all just get to keep on making out and passing herpes back and forth between the three of them.
Let's talk a little bit about Y&R.
Oh, Lord,
Reagan.
Here it comes.
You told me something on Instant Messenger, which I thought was very revealing about...
And you've just been dying to bring it up.
I have been, because I don't think you and Jamie necessarily agree, so it'll be interesting to see how this conversation goes. What was it you were saying about a second-class citizen?
Okay, I forgot I used those words. In my defense, I have no history with this character, and...
This character being
Avery.
Okay.
And all I'm saying is, from my first time around of watching Young the Restless to picking it back up the last 4 days so I can see Steve Burton, I feel like if you're going to bring in Steve Burton, you kind of pair him with one of your big guns, and she doesn't feel like a big gun to me.
But I believe the specific words were second class citizens.
And even Rachel was watching it with me tonight, and she goes, man, he looks so good. Look how trim he got. And who is this broad they got him with? Oh, no, she's not good enough. That's exactly what she said.
She is too. Y'all, let me tell y'all, she is Dinah Lee from Loving. Y'all better leave my Jessica Collins alone. And she
I take it you're liking Avery and Dylan?
Luke, you know, you and I, when I see what causes you to just get spun up.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to be really spun up about General Hospital in a bit.
I just shake my head because I'm like, really? I mean, the little silly establishing scene with the pet rock caused all that.
That was the stupidest thing.
You didn't mind, Gloria. Gloria coming in there and turning John Abbott's mansion into a tacky trailer park nightmare.
She was a woman on the up.
But you can write out waste all kind of HTML code on a little silly establishing flashback about a pet rock.
That you're having one of the most popular actors in daytime arrive on the number one soap, which we can't ever forget, and his storyline is so impactful that he's going to be petting rocks.
Luke, Douglas Marlins, they're following, for once, they're following Douglas Marlins' rules. Maybe they've learned. What do y'all, he can't come on 5 days a week.
I'm not expecting him to come on 5 days a week, but I agree with Reagan. They could have put him with someone more high power.
Well, and this is the thing about the whole overall thing of YNR, which I'm not hating. You know, usually I'm like, well, why isn't he coming on as JT Hellstrom or, you know, insert somebody from the past? But I'm noticing that if you look at what they're doing, they're creating a new Young and the Restless. I'm not saying that to be alarmist. Because, you know, a lot of the vets are still viable, but they're really trying to create new characters. And I think that's kind of a good thing, especially for a show like YNR, where, you know, mercifully, especially with the ABC soaps were gutting their vets left and right, YNR kept it about Kay, Jill, Victor, Nikki, Jack, Ashley, you know, Neil, Drew. But it's like, by doing that, that means you've had 40 years of stories with these people, front and center. And I'm not saying that there's not stories to be told anymore, but how many times? I'm going to tell you right now, I just saw my last Jack versus Victor story that I really give a damn to see, unless they come up with a fresh new spin on it, because it's like, how many times? I mean, you know, I've got YouTube, so I can go back and see the good ones again if I want to, but I don't need to see them in their wheelchairs running into each other. Jack with his walker and Victor in his wheelchair. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get Newman. No, I'm going to get you, boo. I mean, the reason I think it's working on Dallas is that we had a 20-year rest. Mm-hmm. We had a 20-year rest from it. And, you know, so now the Ewins versus the Barnes is fresh again. I'm okay with them peppering the cast with new people. And to me, it's been too early to judge Steve on it, or that.
Steve is an actor. Steve is an actor. It's actually been refreshing to see him in this role. I actually think that I can tell that he's having fun with this, as opposed to when he was on General Hospital,
when people start saying that stuff, because that's what they kept saying about Jeannie Francis. Well, she's having fun. I don't care.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is I'm enjoying his portrayal. It's a little bit different than what we're used to seeing him on General Hospital. I get the sense that he's having fun. Now, whether or not that's the case, who knows?
I'm ready for Josh Griffith to pin him a raunchy, nasty sex scene. That's what I'm ready to see, because to me, that's going to be when I know that it's different than what went on at GH. I'm ready to see
Avery. Well, he's not going to get anything nasty or raunchy with Avery. That's just impossible.
Avery has had nasty, raunchy sex scenes with Nick.
If that's what you consider raunch, then boy, your definition is a lot different than mine.
I'm not talking about porn, Luke. I have to Murgatroyd.
Reagan, what did you think of Finn and Jamie in the Jamie ending up in the hospital? Right now, we don't know for sure if it was because of Finn, but that's what everything is implied. I'm loving the storyline because not necessarily because of Finn and Jamie, but because of what it's doing to Lauren and Michael. I want someone to bitch slap the hell out of Lauren for her blind head in the sand faith in Finn. What are your thoughts on the story?
Well, I think it's like, and maybe their whole point is to make it obvious, but it seems pretty obvious that Fenmore didn't do it, and this kid just wants kind of paybacks because he feels so bullied, which, you know, bullying is a topical story to do. I don't have the history with the story because I just started watching it. I'm just confused over, did he really do it? Did we see that?
That little hot summer found out that his mentor, who was Jeff Branson, what was his name on that show? Ronan.
Oh, you're going back and getting the back. Yeah. Okay.
So she found out that Ronan, who was screwing her mama, was Jamie's big buddy, big brother, big buddy.
type thing. You know, yeah.
My buddy. Oh, no, that was a toy. But anyway, he was in one of those programs for at-risk kids. And so she was like, well, I'm going to, you know, get on the message boards and, like, attack him because his mentor is, like, screwing my mom. And so Finn was so hot in the pants for Summer that he went along with it. Then Summer started liking the boy and feeling guilty, and it made Finn really jealous. Then Summer started kissing Daniel, and so then, you know, Finmore went all crazy like Paul's son so that Paul could tell Michael, so Paul could come over to Michael and cry. Just make sure that your son doesn't go down the same path mine did. Because, you know, all they have Paul do is just cry. Look, Paul.
He's good at it.
Paul sees a Hallmark commercial. He's sitting there with Cricket. Oh, Lord, the Golden Girls looks like it's going to be so funny tonight, Cricket. But, so, you know, that was my concern. I'm like, we just saw Paul's son go slap-dap crazy on this show. So I wasn't too interested at first to see Finn do the same thing. But they've really, like Luke said, they really have morphed the story into more of a disintegration of Lauren and Michael's cozy little trust. Because Lauren and Michael have been so ride or die for each other. They haven't had any moment of eye wandering or anything in years through doppelgangers and...
Well, and there's been moments like for a while there, I thought that Avery was going to end up possibly going after Michael, and they've teased Carmine and Lauren a little bit, but they never do anything with it.
Well, now I think they will, because Jill Fahrenfeld definitely loves a good affair, but I hope this affair, if Lauren has an affair, I hope it doesn't end up the same way Bo Bowers did, because it ended, I mean, when Ed had an affair with Lillian on God Like Us, Mo Bauer ran out of the house. We didn't see Mo Bauer no more.
Will say this, coming in late to the story, that's the one part of the story that you kind of keyed in on was Michael and Lauren. It's so the Jamie, kids that I was confused about, so thank you.
So, Jamie, do you believe that Finn actually pushed him?
I think he did. Finn is a little devil. He's an awful little boy, and then Max Eric plays him. So
he is fantastic.
And I like Daniel Polo, too. I mean, they're both playing. At first, I was worried they were a little young, because I'm just so used to what I call the 90210 teenager, where the teenagers
look... They're 25, and they're...
I'm just not used to teenagers really looking that young. So I was like, why do you have these little itty-bitty kids on the show? But, you know, I'm noticing that soaps are really starting to have... Because think about it, Reagan. I mean, GH, the teen story, Brenda, Jason, AJ, and Karen and Jagger all look grown as hell when they were in high school and AJ was in college. Now Molly and TJ and this new boy, they look like kids. You know, they actually look like kids, so I'm not used to, you know, and I wonder how that'll be in terms of storytelling viability, because you can't, you know, Molly can't have sex like Brenda
and
had
we're going
sex.
To
and no I'm going back I know how to transition back I'm talking about Daniel and Max Eric and Hunter Taylor Tyler. What is her name? Hunter Haley King. She got my step names. Summer. Hunter Haley. Catherine Kelly King. I'm like, look, girl. Now, look at her. I'm about to tell her this because I like her. I'm speaking to you, Hunter Haley. I can feel your halo. Look at here. We have had to deal with this with soap actresses from the beginning of time. Tracy Bregman was Tracy Bregman. Then she was Tracy Bregman Rick. Then she was Tracy E. Bregman. But as a blogger, we need you to pick a name because we don't have time for this bullshit. But that's what I said. That's Marcel Giovinizio.
Melody Thomas or Melody Thomas Scott?
Well, my whole life she's been Melody Thomas Scott as long as I can remember. But no. What's another one? Judy Evans. Judy Evans, you are a great offender in this.
Judy Evans, Luciano.
Judy Luciano. Now you're just Judy Evans. Hunter Haley Tylo, King. You pick a name, sister. Pick a name and go by it. Henceforth now.
Well, let's talk about someone else who needs to pick a name. Leslie. Congressman Wheeler went and called her Valerie when he first ran into her. Pardon me?
Luke, I'm going to tell you what this is. See, Y&R, Sony has secretly bought up the rights to Another World, and that's Grant Harrison.
Grant Harrison.
Has it not been fantastic to see Mark Victor back on TV?
That is Grant Harrison. His dead child was Kirk, who grew up to be a transvestite and had a sex change. And Jack Abbott slept with him. And the reason Jack killed him is because he felt around there and felt that penis. So he killed him. And now
Jack didn't kill anybody.
And I'm telling you the truth. Don't you watch GH? Everything you saw didn't happen, Luke. I'm telling you what really happened on General, on The Young and the Restless. And what really happened is Leslie is not Leslie. That's one of Etta Mae's kids from Bay City on Another World. Now, I'm trying to tell you.
For a moment, I thought you were going to be going down. She was one of the kids from Jack Abbott's Sticky Buns woman, or John Abbott's Sticky Buns.
Oh, baby. Mr. Abbott sure loved Mamie's Sticky Buns. He used to wait up all night for Mamie to get through with a batch of her hot, sweet sticky buns.
Reagan, what did you think of Valerie, the revelation that Leslie's name is Valerie and that something else is coming down the pipe for us?
Well, again, I'm jumping in late to the game here, so I just want to see where this is going, because like Jamie said, I was like, ooh, Grant Harrison, okay, I'm on board. That was enough for me.
It's so good to see Mark
Binder. Oh, I love him. I love him.
He is fantastic. I don't think there, like, because he was on, he showed up on All My Children. Didn't he drop by, did he drop by General Hospital for a little bit? Yeah, he did.
GFN Phelps run that show.
Yes.
Exactly. Friend show. And now he's on YNR. I mean, it's.
One thing to say about Jill, I like all of her friends. I mean, we give a hell. About bringing them wherever she go, but she has good friends in terms of soap friends, because I love Kale Brown and I love Mark and I love Timothy. But now she will get rid of your vets for your show to bring them on. Now look, A. Martinez for the show up any second. The role of Victor Newman.
I was sitting there,
and he'll have a Spanish accent.
I was like, shit, she even got Owen Renfro over there.
Yeah, the snack of GH directors. That's one thing. I'm like, if you ever make friends with Jill, shoot, you got job security until the last.
Yeah, that's one thing. She does know the meaning of loyalty.
Look, Jill's like the godmother.
Reagan.
We're done.
Since you're late to the game on YNR, I'll go to something that I know you're not. Frisco Jones returned. And if I remember correctly, he and Felicia were one of your favorites from back in the day.
Yes, they were. They were my favorite. Not one of. They were my favorite. I just want him to like bust out All I Need. He needs his guitar when he walks in.
Now, Mac is going to bust out All I Need. It's the child. I done raised all your stray kids and whatnot. I done paid for George's funeral when she was laid up on that slab on them steps. I had to pay. You and Felicia was running around saving the world from catching the alien, and I'm sitting here taking care of these children. That's
I know. I was like, I like how you're throwing in his face that he was never there, but Felicia wasn't there either.
Felicia got that good, so,
Well, can we talk about Felicia for a second? Is it just me?
Yes, if you're going to say anything ugly about Felicia, it is just you.
Or has the quality of her crying, I can't decide if it's improved or or eroded.
That's a big jump, Luke. You can't. Wait a minute. So let the record show that.
It just seems to be. Because I remember Felicia back in the days before Georgie died. And at that time, now it's been a while since that. And so it's like her stint this time between the courtroom scenes that she was in a while back. And now when she's trying to explain to Mac and she's almost like crying and stuff, it's just like, what happened to Felicia?
Well, I don't think the crying was necessary in that scene. So it felt a little forced, in my opinion.
I think she was so scared because, Mac just forgave her. So I guess Felicia done some hoish stuff. She slept with Mac she slept with Frisco when she was with Mac, but they were afraid that Maxie was going to die. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she ended up running off with Luke and leaving them kids with Uncle Max. So, and then she just ran off again and was with Frisco. So, you know, Uncle Mac, she probably cried like that because she know Uncle Mac might go have her stuff put up the porch, you know. Because she, and you know, I guess she's also matured enough to realize, yeah, I sure want to go get some of this Frisco special. But Frisco will be gone trying to stop an alien invasion tomorrow, and Uncle Mac going to be right here stable and steady. It's the story of every woman's life, if you think about it. It's like Brenda. You know, Brenda could never decide between good old corporate raider Jack and bad boy Sonny. I mean, you know, it's the classic story. It's Edward and Bella and the wolf.
And does Jack Wagner not look fantastic? I don't know what it is about B&B versus General Hospital. He looks like 10 to 15 years younger.
I'm going to make you give credit where credit is to the due. Frank Valentini. When you come on Frank Valentini's set, you're going to have had a cleanse, a facial, you gonna have your chakras right, and if not,
well, that is true. The first thing that he did when Frank Valentini took over was make John J. York get a haircut.
Everybody looked better with Frank. Frank is like, y'all finna do something with these heads, except for Connie. But you know, that's the only one. Look, she keep ducking and dodging every time she sees him in the hallway. Kelly Sullivan ducks the other way because you know, it's like Frank Valentini makes sure that everybody on his shows look amazing. Look at Jeannie Francis. She has a great hair color.
Her coming back, she looks amazing.
Great. She had that loud, crazy hair on The Young and the Restless. Her hair is a shade darker. It's more flattering. She's got some layers. I love it. I love it. Because y'all know hair got to be right on a soap for me. I don't care with Tennessee Williams. If your hair is thrown, unless it fits the story, like Betty, her hair is supposed to be thrown. But...
Well, Jamie, since Jillian's not here, what can you tell us about her report that Carly Schroeder is returning as Serena?
Well, I could just tell you that a little birdie told her that. I reached out and I didn't hear anything back, but it led me to believe that there's some, you know, merit to it. So, it makes sense. They brought back Scotty, Lucy, and Kevin, so all three of her, you know, living parents in some way or form are here. And you know, I hope, I don't know, Rod is so great at tying things in. You know, the Tobbs are massively wealthy, so you know, Dominique left that little girl, what was it, $200 million?
It was like $500 million, wasn't it?
So
it was a lot of money.
Scotty just locked it up in a trust. You know, she could be, maybe she'll be the person.
Well, this is a perfect segue, Jamie, into my rant of the week.
I didn't get to finish my point, and what I was going to say is that Michael could romance her to get the money to save ELQ.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about money. Because when I started watching General Hospital, one of my favorite characters, even though we didn't see her very often, was Amanda Barrington, Edward and Lila's blue blood friend, who had lots of money and donated $500,000 to the nurse's ball and did all kinds of things. So then we have Allison. Now, I'll preface my comments on Allison with this, is I always liked her. I watched the first couple cycles of Port Charles, but I did not watch it all the way to the end. But I did, if I remember correctly, she was on for a little bit on General Hospital. But I always liked the character. But I liked her in part because she was
a character on GH.
Didn't she show up on once or twice?
Just
like
crossed over.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless, I always liked the character because she was Amanda's granddaughter. So then they go and they decide to bring her back. Well, I was so excited that they brought her back. I love seeing Erin Hershey Presley back. And then they killed her off. And I can sort of understand why they did it. What I do not understand, and I need an explanation for, is how this girl is poor. You mean to tell me that as the granddaughter of Amanda Barrington, this girl does not have a trust fund that she could have been using for the last 10 years to be on the run? There should be a trust fund or a Swiss bank account somewhere so that this poor little boy does not have to be poor all by himself and orphaned. Now he's sitting here, and his grandmother's dead. We know that because they mentioned it. Amanda is dead. Allison, his mother, is dead. And this boy is poor. I do not like my blue bloods with poor. Does not work. Does not.
Thank you, Mitt Romney.
My blue bloods cannot be poor. That boy needs to have his fortune and get it back.
First of all, if she's running from somebody and hiding out from somebody, do you think perhaps if she was drawing on a trust fund that they could trace it back to her and find her?
It's a trust fund, and I mean, these people are well.
Yes, you could still track a trust fund like you could track a bank account.
People like Amanda Barrington have accounts in Switzerland and the Caymans. There is no reason why Amanda had to be poor.
Wait a second. She's not a criminal. She's rich. They don't. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you have bank accounts in the Caymans.
No, to avoid taxes.
Luke.
Oh, God. Not
maybe,
everybody.
Just maybe, because I told him, Reagan, when he told me he was going to go on this rant, I said, You're gonna be Diana Ross that week because you're going solo on that because of all the things to discuss. But here's what I'll tell you, since I will have to just give you something so we can segue from this ridiculousness. Maybe when girlfriend was spending time falling in love with angels and battling vampires, she forgot to, I don't know, manage her Roth IRA properly.
These people don't need, she doesn't need to manage it herself. People who are blue bloods like that.
Caleb ate her account. Luke,
yeah,
okay.
Maybe
people to manage their money for them. They have personal bankers and accountants.
And Caleb
ate her accountant. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's transition into Rafe, TJ, and Molly, because I'm really liking Rafe and Molly together. The just Rafe and just Molly thing really worked for me. I thought it was cute. He reminds me of a young Cole on One Life to Live. Jamie, I know you're a fan of TJ. So, Reagan, what are your thoughts on Rafe, and who would you like to see Molly with?
Am I like the tiebreaker?
Well, you're gonna be the tiebreaker, then we'll get to Jamie.
I really like them both. I think that Rafe is a fantastic find. I know I found his name for you today, and I can't even remember. Jimmy something, right?
Yeah.
I had to find it too, girl. So did I. I Luke don't know how to use Wikipedia.
It wasn't on Wikipedia.
I like Jimmy. I like people named Jimmy.
Speaking of Hunter Haley King, the reason why I don't like using Wikia is because of the fact that I've gotten into trouble with it with Hunter Haley King's name. So, go ahead.
I like
Ray.
Jimmy. I like people named Jimmy. So I really like this. I think the kids are great. Fine. I like Molly and Rafe together, but I love her and TJ. I think they're a great little couple. So, God, Luke, I'm going to agree with you what you said to me earlier. It's going to be a great little triangle. So I hope they go there. And I want to see what happens to Rafe now that his mom's dead. I hope he sticks around with somebody because he really held his own with Finola Hughes. He's a great little find.
Yeah. And I would also like to point out that he is a perfect example of why Days of Our Lives and Bold and the Beautiful have no excuse for hiring talentless new people. Jamie, what are your thoughts on Rafe, TJ, and Molly?
I like the little triangle. I hope TJ doesn't get just shoved out of the way because I do like the new actor. Yeah, I'm team TJ because him and Molly are just cute together and he has that swagger. But, soaps are about triangles. I do have to say I have to cut Days hell of a slack and defend them on what you just said because you cannot compare Days' young adult set in no way, shape, or form to the Bold and the Beautiful's the madness that they are doing right now because Days is on fire.
I was not
so
talking
long.
About storylines. I was talking about casting.
Well, who cares? Camilla, all of them are bringing it. Even in that story, they are all bringing it. I don't care if you have some little thespians, if you got a bad storyline, because I think everybody on B&B can act. Scott Clifton can definitely act. But they're acting out terrible storylines. Days has always, well, at least since the early 80s, had beautiful people who were so-so actors and good stories. Go back and look at mine. I love her to death. I love you, girl. But go back and look at the first 5 years of Kristen Alfonso.
I do not deny that. My only point is that after 20-some years from the 80s, you'd think that they could actually get a few
because they actually had money to pay people in the 80s, Luke. They don't have any money now.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is you were going back to the 80s when people started out talentless. I'm saying after 20 years, you'd think that they'd be able to get some people with some talent out of the door.
If you pay somebody $1,000 an episode and their guarantee is 2 episodes a week and they have to then pay their agent, their pet psychic, the taxidermist and everybody else. You go get
taxidermist.
Get what you get. Because
what would an actor need a taxidermist for? My brother has a taxidermist, but he is not an actor.
He a bad actor.
This is ridiculous.
you don't know what they have to go through. Plus, that you tell these actors, oh, we got a great part for you. Oh, awesome. When am I going to get it for my reel? Oh, well, if we shoot now, in 2016, you're still on air. It's like, it is what it is. But yeah, this guy is, he's a find. But now, GH has not always had the best of young adult actors either, or older actors either. I mean, GH also did cast that. I mean, GH has a great casting director, my God. I mean, Mark Teshner is a G, but everybody's had some misses. I mean, come on now, The Woman in White. Get over that.
Still blame that on Guza.
Let's say he don't cast, he write long story.
But part of what was bad about The Woman in White is that she barely talked, and she just stood there.
I'm getting Luke Idas. Guza didn't even write that story. That Garrett.
Oh, wasn't she on at the very end of Guza, and then Wolf had to figure out what to do with her, something like that? I thought that's how it worked. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought he brought that hook on himself. I don't know.
Reagan, what did you think of Heather, Lucy Coe, and Todd?
I pissed myself on my couch.
Look, Chris Kardashian got something for you
that either of us needed to know.
And Lisa Rinna got something to help you out with that.
No, when they were breaking out of her cliff and she busted the pot over Kevin's head and they high-fived each other. Did you guys see today's?
Yes, it was hilarious.
God, I was dying.
And then when he took the keys and all the other stuff, and then what was the great punctuation of all that was that after they had like gone off, you cut to Olivia having a vision of Heather walking out of the shower in the GH bathroom.
I'm so done with this woman and her visions.
Amen.
I love them. I think she is hilarious. I think Olivia, the psychic, I'm so glad it's a white woman. Psychic, because usually the white women get to be the badass psychics like Frankie Frame, but the black women get to be the silly ass psychics. I am so glad it is not one of us this time. than Celeste ever was.
And maybe that's what I can't stand is that she, like, don't you know by now? You're having a stupid vision and you act so irrationally every single time.
No one listens to her, though. She tries to tell people what's going on and they don't want to hear her. You know, she's told them that Maxie is going to give birth to a puppy and don't nobody want to believe it until that puppy comes clawing out of Maxie. They're not going to believe it. Until Maxie grows 6 teeth so that she can suckle that litter.
Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Jamie, what'd you think of E-Jammy Sex? I almost put on Twitter, and then I thought, well, this could be misinterpreted wrong. It's like, no need for safe sex anymore.
Yeah, don't put that.
It was like, yeah, this is one of those things where you need to think before you
think. Yeah, you know, we've had those discussions. This thing, no, I'll tell you what would have happened, Reagan, if he did that.
45 people would have tweeted Jamie and
Potential endorses unsafe sex, Jamie, you ass.
And my timeline would have been quiet.
I'm getting all mad. Mother sucker, don't tweet me the BS. And then look, I don't know why you don't.
And today, Jamie goes and he tries to avoid taking any heat for the Pet Rock with Dylan thing. So he goes and he tweets about how I'm saying it. And then everybody agrees with me. It was hilarious. Jamie goes, I don't think that the Pet Rock thing is stupid. I like it. And then everybody tweets, oh, it was just stupid.
Over again, they come at me. Why would you stink ass? And I'm like, I don't even write any daily recaps of these shows. So all these opinions y'all are mad about is from Luke Kerr.
I would just point out that they were actually agreeing with me when you threw me under the bus.
What you about Cain and Lily and killing Snilly?
But that's what I'm saying. This time they weren't agreeing.
The one, look, you tweeted something about Chelsea and Cain. You know them Lane fans. You can't fade them Lane fans. I don't even look. If I meet a Lane fan in an alley, I'm pulling out my Lucy Cole brand. Vampire kid, and I'm gonna get ready to get in Buffett mode because I got charged up at an event one time. Dan Kroll and Jillian Bowe were my witness when this Randy fan came up to me at a Broadway Cares event, and she was all, "Are you Jamie from Daytime Confidential? Are you Jamie from Daytime Confidential?" You know me, a little bit of an egomaniac. I'm like, "Oh my God, you know who I am? Oh, hello, darling. Would you like an autograph?" And she's like, "Ah, oh, yeah, I like your podcast, but I want to know why you always so mean about Randy." And I was like, you know, I'm drunk, you know, because they had free booze at this event. And I'm like, I'm just always joking. I am the president of her fan club, and I want to know why you don't like Randy. So I'm like, how do I get out of this shoot? You know, we're looking at each other.
Blame it on Luke.
I'm like, is she going to leave? You know, no. She's sitting there. You need to start being nicer to her. You know, Debbie, you know, I'm the type of kid, you can never try to shame me into something by saying someone else does it. She's like, you know, Debbie Morgan likes working with her, and that did it. I said, I don't give a damn if Condoleezza Rice want to work with her. She's not a good actress on that soap opera. So all of my trying to be diplomatic was gone at that point. So, yeah, it descended from there. But, yeah, I'm all on Twitter minding my own business, and I get attacked because Luke says Chelsea should come between the holy grail that is Lane.
Well, what did you guys think this week of Will, Sonny, and Brian? Even though Sonny and Brian didn't end up having sex, Brian sure made Will think so. Liking the triangle, or do you think this is just a speed bump?
Oh, I like it. I don't consider it a triangle. I mean, I think Brian is a great little instigator. He could be, you know, in my opinion, like a male Eve Donovan. I mean, I'd put him on contract and have him and Nick team up, you know, to bust up Will and Sonny, because that would make Will look more unfit and unstable. But I don't think they're going that route, since we only see the character once a month, you know. But I will say this. Days is going there like no other soap ever has in terms of showing the physicality of a gay relationship. I mean, One Night to Live definitely broke, literally broke new back, I mean ground, with Kid when they made love. But, you know, as soon as they made love, you know, America screamed out, we're okay with rape matches, but not those homos. No, no, no. So we had to lose it. You know, Luke and Noah had 5 second sex standing up. You know, Bianca ended up finally getting to have real love scenes. But now Days is like, we're going to do this and we don't care. And we tape 6 months in advance. So if the million moms of America get mad, tough, too cool, because we got 6 months of these gay boys kissing and hunting and grinding in the can. So I do think that that's a benefit of the one benefit that they have of them taping so far in advance, because there's nothing, because NBC certainly isn't going to say, okay, well, we're going to give you some money to go back and reshoot. So I think that's really cool.
Reagan, meanwhile, Kristen has told Marlena that she is going, or is implied to Marlena, I should say, that her and Brady are going to get married soon. She told Stefano that she planned to get Brady to the altar and then leave him.
I want to know about one thing before you go into that. I need somebody to tell me, you know, is why Stefano is only being shown through a laptop screen like Synergy on Jim and the Holograms. I
mean, well, they had John just show up.
But I'm like, why is he not in Salem? I mean, is there a reason for that?
I don't know.
I just wish somebody would tell us, because I'm like, well, Stefano should be in town showing out.
Reagan, what are your thoughts on Brady and Kristen?
Does Brady want to marry her? I mean, I thought they were just kind of fooling around.
Well, their relationship is evolving, but it's part of her plot, apparently, to get him to the altar. Now, how fast that goes, I mean, at Days of Our Lives speed, it could be really fast or it could be really slow.
I don't know. I honestly haven't been watching it too much. I don't want to answer and say something stupid.
It can't be any stupider than a 10-minute rant on Allison Barrington being.
It was not 10 minutes. It was 3 minutes and 32 seconds. So there. Let's talk a little bit about Prospect Park. Jamie, there was a whole bunch of stuff that came out. First of all, there was stuff by Michael Easton, who said that he wasn't going to be able to appear or be on the show after a certain date. Then we had...
On GH,
after a certain date. Then we had ABC release a press release saying that they were going to keep working with the actors, even if
okay. Let me just jump in here, because this is the one time when your lack of appreciation for details will cause more confusion than the law shall ever allow. It'll be all on
Spies.
Yes, go and ahead. This thing's already giving people whiplash.
It'll
so
be
yes.
all on the message, but when Luke Kerr on Daytime Confidential,
go ahead, Jamie.
I'm like, you and details are not your friends. Michael Easton posted on Facebook that he had to leave. He would not be there. Some people were planning, some fans were planning some things for his birthday. And he let it be known that he had to be off the set of GH by February 8th. So therefore, he would not be there to receive anything. Now, I think Michael just did a very strategic hoe move because, you know, Prospect Park is trying to have their way. Those actors do not want to go to the reboot of One Life to Live. Now, that's me speaking because I've heard that. I don't, you know, they have not gone on record. And people need to leave little sweet Kristen Alderson alone on Twitter. I have never seen. She even tweeted about it. All the craziness of people talking about that girl owe somebody something. Don't nobody owe nobody nothing. I worked for Burger King while I was in college, and I don't owe them a shit-ass thing. People kill me talking about somebody owe them something. That was a job, a J-O-B, and they currently have jobs. They don't owe Prospect Park, One Life to Live, or nobody, nothing. And y'all know how crazy I am about One Life to Live, but that's just crazy to me. That would be like somebody saying, well, they finna put a new Burger King in Atlanta. Jamie, you owe it to Burger King to go back to work there. No, I don't. Especially not if I'm working at what's more high-end than Burger King? I'm working at Red Lobster. So no, I don't have to go back to Burger King. If I'm working at Red Lobster, shit, you go to Burger King and have it your way. But, you know, it's like these actors are not indentured servants. They are signed to ABC. Prospect Park holds the rights to the characters. They are at a deadlock, you know, because Prospect Park wants them back. And GH is like, pretty much, well, we'll give them to you for a little bit, but we want them back too. And Prospect Park is like, no, by this date, you got to be off this set. So after Michael did his Facebook post, and then I ran a post saying that the other two had to be gone by the same day, then Prospect Park released a statement saying we're willing to share. I talked to one of my sources who said that is complete BS. They have not been willing to share. Now, that's just from my sources, but y'all know how good my sources are. So,
well, an ABC statement was that they would continue with the actors in different characters.
And soap opera, no, ABC did not say that. See, that's why details are our friends. ABC said that they looked forward to continuing to work with them. Soap Opera Digest reported that they're hearing that they would likely recast. And Soap Opera Digest reported that Prospect Park would likely recast those characters. So it's a lot of beats in there. No, ABC never said that they just said that they look forward to continuing to work with Michael, Kristen, and Roger. So Soap Opera Digest reported that they were likely to recast and that Prospect Park would recast those characters. Then Prospect Park released a statement saying that they're willing to share. So who knows? I mean, I've heard that it's going to get even crazier. I mean, there are legal affairs and business affairs people on both sides of this that are facilitating each and every move of this. It's the craziest thing in daytime in years. But, you know,
it's too bad we don't have a web series about what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Well, a web series, no. Let's get a TV show, because I love my web series, but I need something to make some money too. But, you know, it's like I need one to make some money at this point. But No, what was I saying? So yeah, I mean, it is it's crazy, and you know, I understand Prospect Park's perspective. Those are three, you know, hugely popular characters that have been kept in play by G8, so they want them back. But the thing of it is, it's like you got the characters.
But my question would be: is would the characters really be that popular if they were recast?
No, they wouldn't. I mean, be. And Prospect Park
exactly
does that. And the thing of it is, though, yeah, it all hinges. I mean, the ball is in the actors' courts. If the actors will say okay, I mean, if that ends up being the case, because now I'm just speaking on speculation, you know, not any fact. I'm just saying, you know, if the actors were to say, okay, we'll go to Connecticut, help y'all relaunch this, but then we want to go back to GH as our characters, as we are, you know, but that's going to take the actors wanting to do that. That's going to take Prospect Park agreeing to release those characters to GH. That's going to take ABC allowing those actors to go do that, considering the actors are under contract. It's just a big mess right now. And my thing of it is, Prospect Park has already cast 20 people almost for One Life. They've only cast 5 for All My Children. So you need to be worried about casting some more people for All My Children instead of worrying about them 3 people from GH.
That's what I said to Luke the other day. They need to worry about All My Children.
I mean, as much as I would love to live. A red hot Griffin Castillo and Opal Purdy.
I believe you called it a saber tooth.
Like a story of all time. But, you know, he needs a love interest. You know, they're casting Jesse and Angie's daughter. Well, just Angie's daughter, because that's Jacob, the evil twin's child. Maybe they'll bring back Donnell Williams as Jacob, too, his character from The City. But, well, he wasn't really evil, but, you know. Still, I mean, they got to cast All My Children. They only got 6 or 7 people for All My Children. So they got to, you know, to me, that would be the focus. I mean, spend that time trying to, look, carrying frankincense and myrrh to Susan Lucci's crib in Manhattan, please. Mm-hmm. Or wherever she's, I don't think she lives in Manhattan, but please, La Lucci, at least help us launch this show. I mean, you know, cast a Kendall, cast a Bianca. I mean, that to me, that would be, you know, why hasn't Tad and Dixie signed on? I mean, Katie McClain is tweeting about it and seems very enthused about it and gave an interview in Soap Opera Digest, but I ain't seen nobody cast her yet. It's like, let's get All My Children cast first before. I mean, I just think you can't force them to, you know, and recasting those roles. I think, yeah, you could recast Star. Fine. You could recast Star. You know, you might could find some plausible dark-haired guy to play John McBain if you want to.
You can't recast Todd.
If you want to water down the Natalie and John story, fine. But, yeah, I mean, they did it once. But, you know, that was like finding lightning in a bottle. I mean, Now, I would do this. Well, I don't even want to give them any ideas. But to me, my first thought was, well, hell. I mean, Prospect Park could just have Trevor play 2 roles if they sign him and just, you know, pretend like we never knew that Todd didn't look the same. Trevor's face when he plays Todd. I'd be perfectly happy with that. Look, just separate the 2 shows and do like a comic strip. You know, like how in the comics they'll have an alternate universe where Superman is the bad guy sometimes or whatever. Let's just keep Todd Starr and McBain on GH as Todd Starr and McBain, and then just have new actors as Todd Starr and McBain on Like to Live.
And people can vote with their remotes. But let's, speaking of voting,
you're going to be voting with your mouth to watch.
Well, that's true too. You can watch Hulu on your TV. Let's talk about one last thing before we wrap this up.
Luke, you will have to bring another trip to Atlanta for me to, in fact, you need to, yeah. How about when does it premiere? I would need you to come down here so you can rig all that up because I.
No, you just need to get a web-enabled TV. That's all it takes.
You just gave me a headache. A what?
A web-enabled TV. My TV has Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. It connects to my hard drives on my computers. It's fantastic. Let's talk about
one last thing. All of the old women in America gonna do?
Let's talk about one last thing before we do final thoughts. Vampires, vampires, vampires. Do you really think there's vampires, Reagan?
I don't know, but I'm going with it. I think it's a little fun. I mean, hell, the Castines were going to blow up Port Charles with a diamond, so why the fuck not? Let's just see where he's going. I mean, it's fun. You know, I'm enjoying GH. I sit there and I look at the TV and I think I'm 20 years younger, and so I'm enjoying it. Do I kind of sit there and go, damn, this show has certainly changed? Absolutely. But I'm loving the hell out of it, so I'm just gonna go with it.
Jamie, with all your sources, is there anything that you can reveal, I should say, about the vampires plaguing or infestating Port Charles?
Infesting? No. I can't say a word. All I can say is keep watching. Because whereas I usually drop, it's some good stuff and I don't want to ruin it. I will say that I hear Michael Easton takes no prisoners in his role and or roles. That, you know, if this does end up being his finale on GH, that he will go out with a bang or a fang, as it were.
Okay, final thoughts, Reagan.
I just see a lot of scenery chewing in Britt's future on General Hospital, since she's going to be there for a while. That's all.
You don't like Britt.
I don't mind Britt.
I don't mind her. I think since the hospital's getting so much love that we need that little conniving character there, so I don't mind that. I just think she's going to chew a little bit of scenery while she's there. That's all.
Jamie, final thoughts?
Well, if she can find some that Kelly Sullivan didn't get a hold of. My final thought is, Brad Bell, you need to write a soap opera. You need to write a soap opera every day. Your daddy taught you better than this. These people regurgitating the same lines of dialogue every day is lazy, and you know it, and you need to get it together. You need to get a colonic or whatever to refresh yourself and stop writing. It's not about the triangle, because there are three likable people. Triangles have always worked good for Bell soaps, but I'm tired of the same freaking dialogue every day. Those flashbacks are lazy. Everyone in town should not be talking about these people's love lives. I do not believe that these women would have nothing better to do with their time. You know, Brooke should be trying to start her own business. Taylor has a practice. You know, it's like, there's more to a middle-aged woman's life than her daughter. And I'm just sick of that. I enjoy the Daisy storyline. Got to get rid of Texas Battle. But you've got to write a better soap opera, dude. You've just got to write a better soap opera.
And get a colonic.
And get a colonic. Whatever it takes. I mean, refresh, rejuvenate. Rewatch Bold and the Beautiful in the 90s. Go rewatch Brooke and Deacon storyline.
While you're getting a colonic.
Go rewatch Amber seducing little Rick. Go rewatch Grant, Brooke, and Ridge. Go rewatch any of that. Get inspired, for goodness sakes.
I have two final thoughts. The first is, Elizabeth should not be a sidekick to Ugly Betty 2.0.
Yes.
She needs her own storyline. It is pathetic that she is being wasted. My other final thought is, watch Divanity. This last week, I don't think I've ever seen a baby shower quite end up the way it did, as it did this last week on...
Have you been to a lot of baby showers?
Divanity. I've been to some. When you have three younger brothers, you get to a few.
True story, I've been to one with bullet holes and strippers.
Oh, great glory. Where are you from?
Bullet holes and strippers. That's sort of awesome. Now that's a title for a podcast. Bullet holes and strippers. They'll think that we're talking about Guza again. Jamie, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com, add us as a friend on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. If you want to find us individually on Twitter, Luke_Kerr is mine, Jamie_Giddens is Jamie's, and Reagan, yours is?
Reagan,
Sugar
C-E-L-L.
Wait. Sugar Booger, at Sugar Booger, shake it, baby.
Reagan, say yours again.
Reagan, C-E-L-L.
Okay.
That's a clean account. Her other one is Sugar Booger, shake it, bake.
I need the lip smacking. You want some sugar.
Annie Brooke, come over here and see my brother, Annie Brooke.
Until next time, so long.